brightest stars in the business firmament were those top-tier CEOs. Their pictures were emblazoned on the covers of books and magazines, and they weighed in on the important issues of the day. I must confess that despite my role as a skeptical observer in a cutthroat industry, publishing, I was not immune to the euphoria, or even above a little hero worship. When the financial newspaper Barron's asked me to write a piece on Jack Welch, the piece was entitled The Price of Heroes, and it included the phrase American Icon in the subtitle. When Newsweek asked me for a comment on Welch's book deal, which was not concluded by my own company, I should add, I observed that advances in excess of $5 million used to be reserved for the Oval Office, now they are going to the Corner Office. In 1997 and again in 1999, Time chose a CEO as its person of the year, Andy Grove of Intel and Jeff Bezos of Amazon, respectively. This distinction was normally the turf of potentates and ultra-celebrities. Now it was being given to entrepreneurs and chief executives. But inevitably, the party ended. Some of the people we had been celebrating, Andy Grove among them, turned out to have been just as visionary and influential as we had made them out to be. Others did not. Some of those hot companies, certainly Microsoft and probably Amazon, turned out to have staying power and the ability to create value over the long run, but most did not. By the end of 2001, the vast majority of the high-flying dot-com companies had crashed and burned, sparking the greatest swoon of any financial market in history. The Nasdaq, which had enjoyed 3 years of record growth, fell from a high of more than 5,000 in March of 2000 to under 1,200 by the fall of 2002. Almost everything is obvious in retrospect. It's easy to see the lessons of this strange period in American business history. Very few of those lessons are new or even that surprising. For example, a soaring stock price alone does not a business make. A viable business requires a viable business model that is capable of producing a respectable revenue stream. This was true in the days of Carnegie and Morgan, and it remains true to this day. When the new economy house of cards came tumbling down, the reverberations were profound and far-reaching. The precipitous drop of the Nasdaq, for example, helped push thousands of businesses underwater. It also wiped out trillions of dollars of shareholder value, destroying the nest eggs of many millions of individual investors. The phenomenon was not restricted to the United States. Europe and Asia were hit even harder. And this was only the first of many heavy shoes that were dropping on an already stunned investing public. The seven leaders profiled in this book are not flawless. They all made mistakes, and most of them came under fire at one time or another for everything from strategic missteps to monopolistic business tactics, and yes, excessive pay packages. But missteps aside, these people were builders. They created legacies that include some of the most innovative business ideas and concepts of the last decades of the 20th century. To ignore their accomplishments and overlook the business lessons inherent in those accomplishments would be a serious mistake. Who are they? Here's the final list. Michael Dell, founder and CEO, Dell Computer. Jack Welch, former CEO, GE. Lou Gerstner, former CEO, IBM. Andy Grove, co-founder and former CEO, Intel. Bill Gates, co-founder and former CEO, Microsoft, Herb Kelleher, founder and former CEO, Southwest Airlines, Sam Walton, founder and former CEO, Walmart. This book is by no means a tribute to the individuals profiled, any one of whom may yet turn out to have feet of clay. This tends to happen a lot when the rules of the game change. Instead, it is intended to spotlight their insights, ideas, and innovations, and to show how these can be applied in almost any organization. Each chapter begins with a brief scenario that puts the reader in the seat of the CEO. A business situation set within a particular industry is briefly described. In these cases, the readers get the chance to test their business acumen against that of each of the 7 subject CEOs. At the conclusion of the case, the reader is encouraged to decide on a particular course of action. The case ends with the question, "What would Michael Dell do?" or Jack Welch, Herb Kelleher, and so on. The business scenario was placed at the beginning of the chapter to challenge readers, stimulate their thinking, and put them in the proper mindset. Each is, in a sense, a quiz, but not a disqualifying quiz. Since the clues to passing each quiz are included in each chapter, I hope that they will be intriguing and even entertaining. And I hope that by the end of each chapter, the appropriate course of action, or at least an appropriate course of action, will be more apparent. One disclaimer. To make a point, I may describe a situation that stretches the limits of business reality, although only by a little bit in most cases. So please suspend disbelief and grant me some poetic license. My goal is not to immerse you in the dynamics of 7 industries or businesses with 100% accuracy. Instead, I want to paint a business situation in broad brushstrokes in order to stimulate your thoughts and responses. Furthermore, while no one, probably even including the leaders themselves, knows exactly how these leaders would respond to the particular hypothetical challenge presented to them, I suggest one solution at the end of each chapter. These proposed solutions are possible and plausible, in my opinion, and reflect my understanding of how each of the subject CEOs has tackled similar problems in the past. You are entirely free to come up with better answers. Part 1. What Made Them Great? Chapter 1. The Exceptional 7 and the Traits That Defined Them. The 7 CEOs featured in this book were selected on the basis of research that I conducted over a 4-year period. This research, which added up to several hundred hours of study and analysis, all told, included interviews with CEOs, interviews with experts such as Northwestern's marketing guru, Philip Kotler, who provided enlightening insights on my material, and a careful review of literally hundreds of books, articles, speeches, annual reports, websites, stock charts, and so on. While very specific criteria were employed to narrow down the list to the final 7, there was a subjective element to the selection process as well. As the editor and publisher of more than 250 business books, I have edited works that documented the lives and insights of such business leaders as William Paley, founder of CBS, Michael Eisner, Disney, Michael Ovitz, founder of Creative Artists and later president of Disney, Jack Welch, GE, about whom I also wrote a book, Ross Perot, founder of EDS, and Lou Gerstner, IBM, among others. It was, of course, impossible not to form opinions of these individuals as I studied them and learned about their accomplishments. This was good background, but it was also a potential source of bias. I attempted to counteract any such bias by studying other business leaders about whose careers I had no special knowledge. When this project began, the list of possible CEOs numbered more than 36. The final list was determined fairly late in the process, in the spring of 2002, when the initial research phase of the book was complete. Without naming names, I will confess that I wrote partial and sometimes complete chapters about other individuals who, for one reason or another, failed to make the final cut. In some cases, these also-rans fell victim to the hard times that followed the turn of the century. They didn't survive professionally, or their organizations were acquired or merged. But more often, they fell off the list because I learned that, strong reputations notwithstanding, they did not meet the criteria for inclusion. Yes, they were accomplished in their own way, but their accomplishments did not seem to speak as loudly as their reputations, or did not promise to apply across a broad spectrum of business situations. How the CEOs were selected. The 7 CEOs depicted in this book represent the best of a breed of managers who were shaped, in part, by the conditions and challenges that characterized the post-1980